We are in the second sermon of a series called Meet Me at the Well. And last week, Pastor Matt introduced us to this series and how God throughout the Bible tends to meet people at a well. He has encounters with people at a well. And last week, Pastor Matt shared with us the story of Abraham and how God had made a promise to Abraham to bless his descendants. And then not only that, he blesses then Hagar when she is lost in the desert and she is thirsty and hungry and she doesn't know what to do. And God opens her eyes to a well in that area in Gerar and gives her a promise of blessing as well. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with you a story that is directly related to the story of Abraham and Hagar, that well specifically, and it's a story that most of you, I think, don't know. I have this thing when I read the Bible that I love highlighting stories that I have not heard people preach from before. And there's something about like unknown stories that just like speaks to me. It's like something new, something that I get excited, I get hyper fixated in, and then I need to do all the research and see how it connects to other stories. And this story right here is one of those stories that I personally had not heard much about it. So I got really excited when I found it in the Bible, and it has to do with a well. And if you know the story of Abraham, you know that Abraham had two sons, and one of them was Isaac. And Isaac, in turn, later on, will have another son that will also be a patriarch to the people of Israel called, come on, church, you know this, Jacob. And these are the patriarchs of the faith of Israel. And those are the fathers of the Jewish religion. And today we are focusing on Isaac, and we're specifically reading in Genesis chapter 26. If you have your Bibles with you, I welcome you to open them to chapter 26. But I also want to tell you that you should probably have like a little mark on this chapter so that you can read it later today or this week, because this is an amazing chapter and we won't be able to cover all of it. I'm going to summarize it for you, but we won't be able to cover all of it. So I challenge you to read it later today. Chapter 26, the book of Genesis, speaks specifically about Isaac. And here's something about Isaac. The Bible doesn't tell us much about him. As a matter of fact, all of you know a bunch of stories about Abraham, don't you? Bet you do. You probably know some stories about Jacob as well. But how many stories do you know about Isaac? I can think of one that everybody might know. Wasn't very pretty for Isaac. We don't know much about this guy. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, there's only about one chapter and a half dedicated to him. Only about one chapter and a half that talks about this guy. Yet he is considered one of the fathers, the foundations of the nation of Israel. How come? If there's only one chapter in the Bible, we're going to read that chapter today. We're going to see why. But I want to tell you that this chapter starts with a great famine in the land. There hasn't been rain for a really long time. All the crops are dead. There's no food anywhere. And everyone that lives in this valley is starting to flee because there's no food. Isaac included. He gathers his family and he says, you know what? This is terrible. We're not going to be able to survive here. So we're going to do what everybody else does when there's famine. We're going to go to Egypt. So he starts packing his things and he starts preparing his family to go to Egypt and abandon everything that he had in this land to go to an unknown land when God appears to him. And he's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? And God kind of like has a heart-to-heart moment with Isaac, and he's like, didn't I promise Abraham that I will bless him and his descendants in this land, and that I will give you this land to you guys? Why are you going to Egypt. What are you doing? And God takes that opportunity to reaffirm a promise that was already given to his father, and he says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars, and through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's an amazing promise. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God had given a promise. And God has already given you a promise. Do you remember what that promise was? Can you remember what God's promise for your own life is? Genesis 26, verse 17 and 18 tells us that Isaac moved away to Gerar. He stayed in the same area, but he moved a little bit north to the valley of Gerar, where he set up his tent and settled down. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names of that Abraham had given them. So after he has an encounter with God, Isaac decides, okay, we're going to stay in this land. We're just going to move around because they lived in tents. So let's move our tents around and try to find a place here that kind of is good for us to survive, I guess. So he starts moving around. And as he moves around, he realizes that the wells that his father Abraham had dug, wells of water, fresh water that will bring in water in times of famine and times of drought, they had been covered. Because people, when Abraham had died, they realized that Abraham had a special blessing, and they were a little jealous of Abraham. So when Abraham died, they were like, we're going to cover his blessings. Which doesn't seem very smart, considering that they're in the middle of a drought and a famine, and they're all dying because they're thirsty. And the only wells of water, they covered up with dirt and stones. So Isaac moves to Gerar, and he starts reopening this wells. And here's what happens. As he reopens this wells, he starts to find water again. And today, I want to bring this first point to you guys. We have to go back and dig the wells of blessing that have been forgotten. Because you see, there is wells of living water in our lives that have already been established, have already been dug, but they've just been forgotten. Wells that little by little have been filled with dirt and stones, and we no longer are able to reach the living water. As I was preparing the sermon, I was challenging myself to find some forgotten wells in my life, which I hope you do today. And as I was trying to find some forgotten wells in my life, on Thursday, I'm having a conversation with my mom over the phone, and she's visiting my grandma, and she hands me, she puts my grandma on the phone. I talked to her for a little bit, and when I hanged up, I just couldn't avoid just thinking of my grandpa, her husband, that died a couple years ago. And I started thinking about him and how much my family misses him. And I remembered that my grandpa, every single morning, it didn't matter how late he went to sleep, it didn't matter how tired he was, how sick he could be, how busy of a day he had, every morning he would wake up at 4 a.m. and kneel in front of his bed and pray to God for every single one of his family members. He will lift them in prayer and cover them in prayer so that when they wake up, they will start their day already being blessed and covered. That was a beautiful well. I remember my brothers, they're older than me, so they experienced it more than I had the chance to experience it. But I remember my brothers telling me, you could wake up hours later and go to the bathroom or something, and there he was still praying. It's like time didn't exist sometimes. He would just enjoy that time of prayer. And it was every single day. So I realized that is a well that has been lost in my family. That's a well that I'm retaking and reclaiming. Every morning I'm gonna start my day by covering in prayer my family, my little Levi, 7 months old, and praising God for the day to come. So I ask you today, what are some wells that you've had in your life that have been covered and are no longer flowing with living water in your life? And if you can identify some, maybe it was a promise that you made to God that you were gonna have devotional time with Him every day, and you kinda did it for 2 days and then forgot. I don't know what it is. But as you think of a well of water that has been covered and is no longer flowing, I want to invite you this week to start digging that well back. Genesis 26, verses 19 and 21 continues saying, Isaac's servants also dug in Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring, saying, "This is our water," they said. And they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named that well Esek, which means argument. Isaac's men then dug another well, but there was also a dispute over it. And so Isaac named it Sitna, which means hostility. So here's what's happening. As Isaac starts to dig again these wells that were dug originally by his father, but then they were covered, and he discovers them and starts digging them and finding water, the blessing, and crops are starting to again like come to life. They have watered happiness. The same people that had covered these wells, they're like, that well is mine. That's our well. And Isaac is a stellar dude. He's so generous, so patient, because if I was Isaac, I would be like, no, it's not. You crazy? To begin with, my father is the one who dug this well, the one who built it. You guys covered it. And then I came along, so I rebuilt it, I reestablished it, I cleaned it, and now you guys want to claim it? I don't think so. But that's not Isaac's reaction. When they come and they start fighting over the well, he's like, awesome, you guys can have it. Let's go dig somewhere else. They start digging again, and the same thing happens. And he's like, awesome, you guys can have it. Let's go somewhere else. You know, there's fights that are not worth fighting for. And when you're sure that God has a promise for your life and you're walking towards that promise, you don't have to fight any fight. You don't have to reply to anyone on Facebook. You can continue walking knowing that you're walking on the promise of the Father. And if you dug a well that it was meant for blessing to your family, leave it behind, and another family might be blessed by it. And that's exactly what Isaac did. And his wells were wells that blessed other people. The same people that were against his family. And he was like, you know what? I'll continue digging wells that bless other people. Because I know that I have the blessing from my father. So instead of fighting, he digs wells that bless other people. He continues doing it, and then he does it one more time in Rehoboth, and he finds water, and finally nobody comes fights for it. So he's like, finally, we have found our place, right? We're gonna stay here forever now. This is our land. Nope. He tells his family, I feel like we need to continue moving. This is not the final place. God has something greater. So he keeps moving north and more north, and he continues digging wells and finding water. And then he gets to a place that now we know as Beersheba. And as he gets there, his men dig a well again, and they call it Beersheba. Bear means well in Hebrew. So every time that you see bear something means well of something. So Beersheba is the well of oath, the well of promise. And the reason why they named it that is because as Isaac's men are digging and they find water, God appears to Isaac and he gives him a promise again. A promise that was already given to Abraham, a promise that was already given to Isaac. But he reminds him and he's like, listen, I will bless your descendants. You will have descendants as numerous as the stars. And through your seed, the nations will be blessed. When we dig wells, sometimes the blessings of those wells affect generations and generations to come. Sometimes you don't even get to see the fruits of the well that you have been digging. Maybe at your job, you've been working really, really hard for someone else to pick up where you left off and receive all the blessings of that well. And that's okay. Isaac dug so many wells, and he was very, very aware that every well he left behind was going to be blessings for someone else, but also was going to be blessing for generations to come. Because God had promised him that through his seed, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. And all this land where he had been like jumping around and digging wells and continuing, what happened is that after he cleaned up all these wells, the land began to prosper because now it had water. And people started moving in, and the cities started to grow where there was no cities. It was deserts before, and now there's cities in these places. And now it's a powerful nation called Canaan. Oh, some of you already connected the dots. You're like, oh, Canaan. And Canaan is the land that God promised the Israelites, the promised land, that the description was a land that flows with milk and honey. But that was a desert before. The reason why it's flowing with milk and honey today is because Isaac was faithful and dug wells, even if it wasn't for his own blessing. And from this land that flows with milk and honey, this promised land, our Savior Jesus Christ came to this world. So through him, all the nations of the world were blessed. Because of his faithfulness and because of him digging wells. So today, I want to tell you that God's promises are still flowing beneath the surface. They're still flowing beneath the surface. We just need to start digging. This past week or 2 weeks ago, time is kind of like all like crazy with baby in my head. I don't remember what I did yesterday. I got invited to be the speaker at a Bible retreat, a spiritual retreat for seventh grade at Fleece. And they took us out to a retreat center, and we were there for a couple days, and they asked me to do four sermons for them. And they gave me specifically the topics they wanted me to talk about. It was supposed to be a discipleship weekend or week. So the first sermon was how to meet Jesus. Second sermon was walking with Jesus. The last sermon was going to be being transformed by Jesus. And that third sermon, it was going to be kind of like a special night. And they gave me the topic of forgiveness. And I was like, ha, oh, if you know anything about me, I have a couple stories about forgiveness. So, all right, let's do this. And I start preparing and I start sharing with the students what God has placed in my heart. But that last night when we were talking about forgiveness, I decided, you know what, I'm going to divide this into two portions. The first portion is, we need to forgive ourselves Because you see, guilt and shame, they kind of cover our wells and they don't allow living water to flow. So if you want to experience living water to flow, you have to let go of shame and guilt, and you need to forgive yourself. And I made a call that night, and there was about 86 or 89 students there, and many of them came forward, and I was able to anoint them. And then we had a second part to it, where I shared with them, if you want the living water to flow, you need to get rid of anger and bitterness, which is forgiving others. And that is not easy. That's very, very hard. But that anger and bitterness is something that covers up your well. And bitterness will never allow you to grow in Christ. Let me tell you that. So as I'm speaking to these students, I tell them like, hey guys, we need to start getting rid of those things. In our terms here, we need to start digging. We need to start digging and reestablishing those wells. We need to reestablish those relationships. So I don't know who you're mad at today here, but guys, go hug each other, talk to each other, say, I'm so sorry. This is the time to do so, so that you can start experiencing the living water in your life. And little by little, kids started getting up. And Pastor Jonathan, he had planned this activity with rocks, where they were gonna grab a rock and give it to someone that they had hurt. As a symbol of, I'm not throwing a stone at you, I'm giving you a stone so that we can build a relationship. So they start giving each other stones, and we finish that service, we pray, they go out, and we had kind of like a campfire with s'mores, and we start handing out the s'mores. And for the next hour and a half, you would think that they're playing around, eating the s'mores and being crazy. For the next hour and a half, they're still hugging each other, reestablishing friendships that had been lost, asking for forgiveness to each other. I had a couple students come and ask for forgiveness from me. I was like, why are you sorry? He's like, oh, because I didn't pay attention to your sermon. But for the next hour and a half, they went deep into digging the well so that they could experience the living water. And the next morning, what a glorious morning it was. So today, this morning, I'm asking you, church, to follow into the steps of these students right here, to follow into their steps in digging deep, in digging into the well so that you can find the living water. And I don't know what that looks for you. It might look a little different for each one of us, but I promise you that God wants to meet you at the well. God wants to meet you at the well, but for you to meet him at the well, you have to start digging, because there has to be a flow of living water in your life. So I challenge you today, as you go home, church, let's start digging. Let's pray. Father, thank you because you are a good God. Thank you, Father, because you have already given us promises. And this morning, we pray that you help us be able to remember those promises and start fighting, digging to be able to reach that living water so that our families can be blessed, so that those around us can be blessed. But most importantly, so that for generations and generations to come, they continue knowing your name and knowing how good you are. Father, we place our lives in your hands, asking you to show us how to look more like you every day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.